A lot of people don't know this about me, but back in the day, I was quite the gamer. Now, back in the day for me was like the Atari 2600, okay? And even though I have an Xbox now, I don't really play Xbox except for watching a DVD or a Blu-ray unless my grandmother or my granddaughter is home with us for the weekend. But I do have to confess I indulge in a bit of a guilty privilege on, or a guilty pleasure on my iPad. I have a game on there called Wizard of Oz. And it's, I don't know, it's got 1,600 levels, and my wife also plays, and we have a little competition. What level am I on? Oh, 875, I think. How about you? Only 849. And I won't tell you which one's ahead, but it passes a little bit of the time and makes for some fun competition. But right about now, somebody is wondering, how is he going to tie the Wizard of Oz to a homily? And it's like this. I kind of thought during the week that Dorothy's companions were, in some shape or another, looking for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Scarecrow was looking for a brain, which leads to wisdom and knowledge. The Tin Man was looking for a heart so that he could experience love, that he could give that to other people and to share it. And the Cowardly Lion, well, he wanted courage so he could go out and take on the world. In many ways, those are gifts of the Holy Spirit. But the thing is, you see, once they got to the wizard, once they got their gifts, they were open to receiving them. So instantly, as soon as the Scarecrow got his degree, he was spouting off formulas. As soon as the Tin Man got his heart, he was emotional and open to many, many more things. And the Cowardly Lion, as soon as he got his courage, he was ready to take on the world. Bring him on! Bring him on! Okay? And really, that's the same story for us with the Holy Spirit. We need to be open to those gifts. Those of us that have been baptized and confirmed, we have those gifts. We may not be using them to the fullest extent possible, but we have those gifts too. We have to be open to them. It's like in this last week's video from The Wild Goose. They had this image of the Holy Spirit being a wind, which is blowing real strong in Pinckney today. But they had this image of the Holy Spirit blowing as a wind and us being in a boat and having our sail open to catch that wind and let the Holy Spirit take us where he wants us to go, to do the things he wants to do. Now we can fight against that. We can keep our sails down. We can point them in the wrong direction, and even in a strong wind, if your sail isn't pointed right, you're not going anywhere. So being open is really important. Being able to recognize those things is really important. So now the question becomes, how are we going to take this talk about the Holy Spirit and tie it to the gospel? Because today we hear some pretty straight talk from Jesus. Just being nice to the people that are nice to us isn't good enough. Just doing good things for the people that do nice things for us isn't good enough. We have to reach out and do those things and love other people that sometimes don't even love us. And you know what that takes? It takes courage and wisdom and knowledge of the Lord to be able to reach out to those people that don't care much for us. And let me give you a more modern day example. Anybody ever look at Facebook and see all the snarky comments and all the arguments and all the names people call each other? Okay. Christians are so much better than that. Reacting like that is beneath a Christian's dignity. It's one thing to disagree. civilly. To speak the truth always, of course. But we don't have to battle with names and yelling at each other and all the other things that you see on all that social media. It just isn't necessary, and it's beneath the dignity of a Christian. So, these gifts, we have to use them. We have to be examples to the rest of the culture. And just as surely as some people have gifts, all of you do. A number of people have commented to me through the years that I have a gift for speaking. Thank you, I appreciate that, but in reality it's a gift, and I simply try to use it the best I can. But the more important thing, as I reflected back, is how the Lord had acted in my life long before I became a deacon. I spent many years as a software consultant, implementing software, installing different kinds of software. I had to talk and work with people from CEOs of companies all the way down to the people that worked in a warehouse. So the Lord was preparing me even then, though I didn't realize it. Speaking in those small groups prepared me for what I'm doing today. And I tell you this with all certainty. Just as the Lord prepared me for the things I do, just as surely as He prepared us for what we do, He has prepared you for something. I wouldn't presume to know what that is, but if you take the time to reflect on your life, you'll be able to see where the Lord may have been leading you and you didn't even realize it. And the question becomes, how do you respond then? I would hope that you keep your rudder in the water, that you let the wind of the Holy Spirit blow you where He wants you to go. The first time I met Bishop Boyer, I was with a group of deacons when he first came to the Lansing Diocese. And he told us that, as men of prayer, I know you ask what the Lord's will is for your life. He says, but also remember this. If you ask what the Lord's will in your life, when He answers, you best have the courage to follow up and do what He asks of you. And I know it's easy sometimes because I've done it probably more often than I care to admit to myself. Lord, what do you want of me? I want you to do this. Really, Lord? That wasn't what I had in mind. Okay? But if we're open to what the Lord asks us, we can accomplish great things. My experience has been that the Lord doesn't ask us to do things that are terribly difficult for us in the way that He's prepared us. But what He asks us to do isn't always convenient. It's very seldom comfortable. But He's prepared us to do the things that He wants us to do. He's prepared us to be beacons to other people in the culture. He's prepared us to reach out to other people and be examples. He's prepared us to be nice and good to everybody, even the people we don't like, and especially sometimes those on Facebook. We have it within us to be what Christ and the Holy Spirit wants us to be. If we exercise that one particular gift of the Spirit, courage. I'll give you a couple examples of that. There's a group here in the parish that goes on a mission trip every year down to the Dominican Republic. You'll hear more about that shortly. But going on a mission trip to a land that is so different from ours, to immerse yourself in that culture, you can't begin to imagine how poor it is until you're right in the middle of it. You have to step outside yourself. You have to be courageous to go on those kinds of trips and to do those kinds of things. And another parishioner brought me another example. She had read a book called Praying for Strangers by an author named River Jordan. And this lady had been called to pray for strangers. So once a day for a year, she would walk up to a stranger as the Spirit inspired her and ask that person if she could pray for them and if there was something in particular that they needed prayer for. And one of the examples that stood out to me was a lady who said, "Oh my gosh," she broke down into tears because, "my son's so wrapped into drugs, I don't know how to help him, I don't know how to get him out. I would really love it if you pray for me." How many people do we run into every day that we don't know what they need and are in desperate need of prayer? And it's one thing to pray in general for people. It's another thing to pray for them and for their needs specifically. It's personal. It's real. It makes a difference. This person that told me about this book tried it herself for 30 days and told me how rewarding it was. And it was so rewarding that that's what she's going to do for Lent, to ask a stranger every day if she can pray for them and for whatever they might need. So this wind blowing in your life, follow it. Keep your rudder in the water. Keep your sails open. Let the Spirit take you where you will and reflect on your life and try to find what the Lord has prepared you to do. And then have the courage to do it. You see, because you're in a very unique position. You can change the world. You can make a difference. You just step out in courage and in faith and in wisdom to do it. So, please, follow the Spirit in your life. He won't ask something of you that you can't do. It may not be comfortable or convenient. But when you find out that you can do those things, it's an amazing experience. And I hope you're able to find those and do those things, because it'll make a difference to you and to the world.